Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden. The Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. Truth straight up.
That's right. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. All kinds of stuff to talk about today. We've got Speaker Johnson turning traitor, trying to figure out why. Even Chuck can't figure out why. And when Chuck is baffled, it's a real puzzle. We've got Mark Poff with some interesting insights on the, remember those Idaho murders, those roommates who were murdered? Some interesting insights on that. But wanted to start off with our friend and grassroots activist, Mark Chilson. Mark has been involved in, he's like you used to be a lone, not totally lone, but Denver Republican. He is fighting the good fight against Kent Theory, a billionaire's bid essentially to take over the election system in Colorado. And we thought, you know, we need to explain this to folks. So Mark, hey, welcome to the show and thank you for your time. Oh, can you turn your audio on? Do you have that? Just unmute yourself. There.
That's kind of Zoom 101, isn't it?
That's right. Hey, listen, this is, I think it's, we got gremlins in the computer stuff today, but hey, thank you for the show.
Yeah, I want to say something about Mark if I could. I mean,
sure.
I think I'm going to nominate him and send a letter to Rhino Watch as one of our, to the Patriots Hall of Fame, because he's been tremendous. He matched funds for the opt-out down at one of the assemblies, which is really incredibly important. And he's been there. He's been an enormous addition from the wasteland of Denver.
Well, let me ask you, yes, and you do a great job there. So let me ask you so these are ballot initiatives, and there's a pretty good chance it might be on the ballot. But you know, you had sent, and there is a letter up in Rhino Watch this week from Mark talking about how if we fight this after it passes, we're screwed because we've already seen how that goes. And you're like, we need to fight it beforehand. So why don't you explain what it is we're fighting and what we're doing and how people can help?
Again, Chuck and Julie, thank you so much for having me. And I really enjoy your show and really enjoy Rhino Watch and the Glendale Chronicle, all of the publications that you guys do.
All right. Well, thank you.
Well, we don't do Rhino Watch.
Well, it's a collective people who do Rhino Watch. But yeah. But so what is...
Okay. I know you guys contribute.
That's right. So what is it that Kent Theory, who blessed us, and that's sarcasm, with the open primary, what is it that he's trying to do?
He has indeed decided that he's going to bless us with his control of our election process. As if you may be aware, the Secretary of State has authority over what goes on the ballot in election time, and the title board determines what will get through onto the ballot. Their only job is to determine if it's single subject. The Colorado Constitution allows for the citizens to bring these initiatives and construes them rather liberally. In other words, you can throw pretty much anything at the wall and it'll stick as long as it's a single subject. So he's putting forward things that sound good to some. Perhaps some think that ranked choice voting sounds attractive to them. Some might decide that they think petition only on the primary sounds attractive to them. But he's combining these all into one initiative so that he can log roll, so that he gets as many people to vote for the initiative as possible. What he's doing is he's creating a venue, an avenue, or a path for him to become governor, it would appear. And if not to be governor, or at least to continue to control Colorado from the sidelines, which effectively it feels like he's doing now.
Right. Well, and so explain, so is
Well, let me ask you this question. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I'd like him to put them all together because some people will be against ranked choice voting. Some would be against jungle primaries. Seldom would people be for all of them. And I think he has less chance of getting it through because if we just have jungle primaries, we're still screwed. If we just have ranked choice voting, we're still totally screwed. So why not allow him to put it in one big, messy, gooey clump?
That's a good observation, Chuck. I'm going to stay on the sidelines on that topic because we are indeed fighting from a certain point of view before the title board.
Okay. Well, and so folks understand what this is, a tricky Democrat. And if Republicans are smart enough, they could try to do it. What they do is that the title board is important because it's it sets the title and determines whether the title is accurate for the ballot initiative. So in other words, he could call this the vote for puppies and kittens and Kona ice cream for every preschooler initiative, right? And people go, oh, that sounds good. I'm for that. You know,
you want to be a Democrat, Julie. You are so good at making something sound positive. Wow. I want to vote for it.
That's right. And that's the whole thing they try to do is they try to trick it and they try to word it so that it sounds like, well, of course we're for this kind of, hence the open primary. And one of the things you're trying to do is fight it at the title board, right? So to make sure that if at the very least, the language at least is accurate in terms of describing what it is we're actually voting on.
Indeed. We have one chance to kill these pernicious beasts. Okay. And that is in the crib, in the cradle, at the title board, as they're just coming into existence. If we don't kill them there, they have the potential to continue to slay us on the political battlefield once they become law.
Right. And so where do things stand? I know there's been a lot of fights on the title board here because there are even some Democrats who are opposed to this, although I never believe them. But so there have been hearings, there have been appeals. Where does all of this stand? I mean, how urgent is this?
It is rather urgent. I've hired Scott Gessler, former Secretary of State, excellent attorney, who's Donald Trump's attorney for his controversy here on the ballot as well. Also regarding our Secretary of State. Where things stand right now is they have proposed 75 initiatives. You know how they're doing lawfare on President Trump by bringing so many cases against him at one time in so many venues to keep you always chasing after something here and left, right, up and down? Well, that's what they're doing with these 75 separate initiatives on topics of ranked choice voting, filling in vacancies for vacancies that are created to replace vacancy committees, and to institute a petition only onto the primary to effectively kill, I should have mentioned that before, this effectively kills the existence or the reason for existence of the major political parties, the Democrat and Republican parties.
Exactly. Well, let's go into that a little bit. Then we can talk about how people can help you in this fight. So like you said, there are two things, and he's trying to combine them, as you said, into one thing, which may or may not be helpful when we actually get to the election. But I think Mark is right. Let's try to kill it now, because the petition, people might say, well, people can already petition onto the ballot, and it puts it in the hands of the people and takes it out of those backroom insider deals. What Kent Theory isn't mentioning is I think his petition, I mean, to be one of the plans I saw to get on the ballot to be running for governor or Senate, it would cost you $50,000, like right up front, right? I mean, this would be a totally pay to play petition that would make most candidates, I mean, most people who are interested in running, not even able to afford it, right?
Absolutely. And anyone with a disability would make it physically impossible for them to run for office as a practical matter. As well, it would make politics a complete rich man's rigged game.
Why would it stop disabled people?
They would not be able to go door to door and collect the number of petitions
Right. Well, but I mean, even if what he's saying is that's just even say that you thought, I don't have the money for that, but I'm going to work my tail off.
Nobody can do that. No.
Well, and so the reason why this would eliminate the need for parties is the way people can get on the ballot right now is they can go through the caucus system, where it starts in your neighborhood and you get delegates to the caucus system who go to the assembly, which is a bigger group. And then they go to their county, the congressional districts, whatever. And so it's essentially grassroots people voting all along for the candidate they like.
And that's how the party apparatus exists.
That's right.
Without it, you know,
you don't need a Republican Party.
You don't need a Republican Party.
And this would eliminate that, right? There would be no assembly caucus system anymore, right?
One could actually have in this Democrat-dominated city of Denver, for instance, or even in a statewide election, it could be four Democrats only on the ballot. They could totally squeeze out the Republicans altogether, and don't we know they want to?
Exactly. Well, and then talk about, so then if that's not bad enough, how is the ranked choice voting thing fit into all of this?
Ranked choice voting is a tool to kill the right. Well, effectively, that's what it's been in the states of Alaska and the places that it's been tried. It has allowed for the grassroots to get beaten, and for even in very Republican Alaska, their House of Representative turned out to be a Democrat and beat the favored Republican in that race. And
yeah, the Republican got more votes, but he lost in ranked choice voting. Yeah.
Right. Well, and how does that work? So when I vote for like my top four or five, or I rank the candidates in the order, that kind of thing.
That is correct. You give a numbered value to each one of the candidates. Who is your first choice? Who's your second choice? Who's your third choice? I'm not saying that ranked choice voting is necessarily the biggest evil in the world. I will say that it is effectively so far proven to be a Republican killing device.
Right.
It is the worst thing in the world. It's adopted in Australia, and it's a disaster there. It's been a disaster wherever it's been, because all of a sudden it takes forever to count the votes. It's easier to
count
the votes.
Right.
Ranked choice voting is a Democratic dream job of destroying democracy. It really is. I mean, if you don't get the majority votes, you know, it's, oh, well, okay.
You're right. You could be somebody who didn't even, like you said, didn't even get the majority. Is all of a sudden.
Well, I did that in Alaska. I don't think it was it Sarah Palin? I forget who was running for the Republican won the election on she got the most, he or she got the most votes. But when they threw in ranked choice voting, voila, the Democrat won.
Yes, indeed, because in the way the ballot initiatives are written in this particular round, and what Kent Theory wants is for there to be a mandatory IRV, instant rank voting process, by which you eliminate each lowest vote-getting competitor until you have one of the candidates having a majority of the votes. It's already convoluted. It's convoluted to even explain. But what that does is that it would then make it possible to subvert the will of the people much more easily.
All right. Well, and again, so you combine that with the pay to play, and then now you have the ranked choice voting, and that would even make it even more. I mean, at least, you know, rhinos and establishment and uniparty thing aside, at least in general, when someone has an R or a D behind their name, you have sort of at least a vague idea of where they're coming from, right?
But well, not in the case of R.
Well, but you know, yeah. But if they get rid of, because there would be no need for a political party. The political parties would be powerless, basically, right? It would all just be rich people funding this. So you're going to be voting for people. It'd be like sometimes with the school board election, right? Where again, they all say we're for puppies and kittens and free cone of ice cream, you know? And well, everybody is for that, right? So you have no way to tell even remotely. It's just, and as you said, kind of explain this too. Kent Theory wants to be governor. There are a ton of people out there who are saying this is his way of trying to give him, since he can't get enough votes from Democrats or Republicans, he's just going to carve out with his money his own path, right?
That's what it seems like at this time, and you have to be looking at how much money he's been willing to throw at this process. He's hired Brownstein.
It's called the Brownstein firm these days.
Right, yeah.
They've changed.
Just call him the Brownstein firm, and hired
That's
them.
That's what they changed their name to.
And it makes a joke of the original idea behind the title board, behind the ballot initiatives process, which was that the citizen would be able to have a voice in his own governance, not just being limited always by what could be gotten through the legislature. Perhaps the legislative representatives were not doing the will of the people. So the ballot initiative process exists for that reason in the Colorado Constitution. The important thing is that it be a grassroots available function. It is not the way he's using it. It is a rich man's device to shove through initiatives that could otherwise never make it through.
Yeah. And as a practical matter, one of the great tragedies of modern era in Colorado is when the jury, being misinformed, acquitted Kent Theory of criminal charges. It's too bad Ken is not in prison today, because he deserves to be there. He had some tricky lawyers that got him off.
I think that we can all agree that we don't want to see a Kent Theory governor, and so it becomes even more important that we've all band together, pool resources, and try to combat this pernicious, opportunistic effort at a power grab.
Well, and that's what why, you know, we so appreciate your effort, because as you said, you're up against the Brownstein law firm. I mean, they're one of the most powerful, you know, lobbyists and law firms in the nation, maybe even arguably in the world, right? They represent Saudi Arabia, or at least they used to. And so you've got the Brownstein law firm and you, right? I mean, basically.
Well, it's hired Scott Gessler, but right. Having hired Scott to be an expert on the Parable lawsuit for the opt-out, the original one, Scott is not cheap. I promise you, Scott is not cheap.
No, but again, it's here again. It is the grant. And I know, because I follow in some other Signal groups, other citizens show up and say, we need to show up and speak. But I mean, so you'd have like me standing up and being like, well, I'm opposed to this. And then the Brownstein lawyer standing up and annihilating me, right? And absolutely. The Teitelberg going... Yeah. So what is it? How does the fight work then? How do you fight it at the title board? You just keep challenging it enough so that finally the title is such that, you know, it's like, okay, do you vote for the awful ranked choice voting and pay to play scheme and make that be the title? Or how can you fight it at this level?
A title could be defeated on three avenues. The first and most common and the most significant and important is that if it has multiple subjects, if it's doing multiple things, if it has multiple themes in the ballot clause, in the submission clause or the implementing language, then it should not pass muster from the title board. The title board should say, we say struck. The title board should strike it and declare that it does not have jurisdiction because of the multiple subjects. The second avenue of attack is to prove or show that it is unclear to the voter as to what it's going to do. The language is insufficiently precise. Then thirdly, that it then be a situation whereas the language is deceptive, and they frequently use this phrase, coiled in the folds. You might think that you see what is going on, but in the folds of the garment, so to speak, there is something coiled up there like a snake that's going to then attack. And that's what these initiatives will do. There are indeed rattlesnakes coiled up in the folds of the garment of these ballot initiatives. They are... that you aren't hiring Brownstein and throwing 75 of these at the wall if it's going to be good for the people. This is an attempt to disguise.
What about now with the ballot initiative? So there are a bunch of them. So say you get it, the two subject one, right? Well, them that we're saying is two subject. So that's how the petitions were presented and signed. So if
you go to the title board.
Not petition signed.
Oh, that's you've got to get it cleared by the title board. And then you go out.
I hit it backwards. I was going to say, okay. But at this point, though, time starts to become an issue if he wants to get it on the November ballot. But for whatever reason, obviously, they think that the best strategy is to combine them. That's why they're doing that, which common sense tells us. So our best strategy is to separate them, right? Or one of our best strategies, right?
That is one strategy. However, let's not try to think that we're too smart and too clever. They have thrown these the way that they have and worded them the way that they have in order to defeat the public's will. And let's not even let their particular initiatives get through in any form, separated or not, because they, even if they are single subject, they are deceptive and they are insufficiently clear for the voter to know what the voter is getting into.
Now, when you talk about 75, so I mean, are they 75 all related to this pay-to-play scheme and the ranked choice voting? Or are they throwing out all kinds of other stuff too?
Three topics. Number one topic is petition on to the primary only, killing the primary system. Number two, ranked choice voting, imposing that on the public. Third, less significant theme, filling vacancies with a governor-directed election. And so all three of these together formulate the crux of the 75. It's very important that people know that how they can search and get more information on this. Don't take my word for it. Right. Secretary of State's website, Secretary of State, then type in ballot initiative, Colorado, 2024. Make sure you've got the year, the state, and the Secretary of State, and then ballot initiatives. Look up the following initiatives, 188, 197, 307. 308, 309, 310, 312, and 313. Those are the numbers to look for. Those are the ones that have slipped past us. We fought bravely against dozens. We've already fought against dozens of them, defeated so many of them for good reason. However, you can't hold back the ocean. And they have been coming at us with an ocean. Those are the ones that have slipped through. Those are the ones we need your help to defeat.
Okay. A couple more questions. Who is on the title board and how do they get?
Oh, it's a very bipartisan thing. There are lots of Republicans and independents, and they're totally above board. We know they are. They're just like anything else in the Colorado government.
As per Chuck's sarcasm, they are all government-oriented Democrats, and they are representatives of the Office of Legislative Services, and then the Secretary of State's representative, and then a representative of the Attorney General. So each of them puts forward a proxy, and this proxy, of course, is a government bureaucrat, and is then to adjudicate over our matter here. So when I say that, I'll go back, and when I had said that they've slipped through, they have gotten titles set for them, and now they can decide which of those they're going to promote and get petitions for to put on the ballot. So what we need to do is we need to file for rehearing. That takes money. And then we need to, once some of them are still going to slip through on rehearing, like 188 just did. And now we need to fight him in the Supreme Court by petitioning the Supreme Court for review of those ballot initiatives to strike them down and kill them before they get out into the public.
Well, thank God we've got a recourse. We've got to the Colorado Supreme Court, who brilliantly kicked Trump off the ballot. So no,
if there's anybody
there
who wants to disenfranchise Coloradoans, it might be the Supreme Court.
We're so in such good shape here in Colorado.
Well, so Mark, how can people, as you said, what you need is money, right? And people to help keep their eyes on things and show up at these hearings. So how can people help?
People can help me by just writing out checks to my attorney. Gessler Blue is the name of the firm. GESSLER space BLUE space LLC. Gessler Blue LLC. You can simply look up their address online and mail them a check. Please reference my name in the memo section so at least my bill gets credit for your having written the check.
Oh, yeah, that'll get me. Oh, that's one for us.
It's Chuck.
One for Mark. Oh, there's another for us. It's so great people are sending us money because they love us. They love us.
Let's just say your name. It's Mark Chilson.
Chilson. Write that like five times. And send Mark a copy of it. Send Mark a copy of it. So
right. You might give me a heads up via email. My email is as follows to contact me. You can contact me at 303-335-7222, 303-335-7222, or you can contact me via email, preferably maercus1@pm.me. That's M as in Mark, A as in Alpha, E as in Roger, R E as in Echo, R as in Roger, C as in Charlie, U as in Uniform, S as in Sierra, the number 1@pm, P as in Paul, M as in Mary, .me, pm.me.
Okay. All right. Well,
there are easier emails out there.
There are.
Anybody listening to, feel free if you're like, oh, I didn't have my pen there, just contact us, right? You can contact us at chuckandjulie.com. Almost all of our listeners have my email. So people can contact us and we'll get you in touch with Mark. Well, Mark, please keep us posted. Yeah. I mean, when is the next actual hearing or battle or...
In 6 days, our reply is due to the Supreme Court protesting that 188, giving notice of appeal on that, then file a notice of rehearing with the title board so that they'll come back and re-review this item. And they're not likely to go to change their minds, by the way. But that's going to be on 307 through 310, and then on 312 and 313. Those are the ones that slip through. And then we'll probably need to, at some point, go to the Supreme Court on one of those initiatives as well. So this is running into the tens of thousands of dollars. It's extremely expensive. Anything you can do to help out would certainly help me be able to do more on behalf of the voters.
All right. And save all of us from Kent Theory World. So
thanks so much for your just great work.
Yes, you are a Patriot Hall of Famer. So Mark, thank you. Appreciate your time.
Chuck and Julie, thank you so much for having me on.
All
You
right,
bet.
thank you, sir. I think it is one of those things. It's sort of like what Jacob says. Remember how we were all scared that HH would pass? Well, how did that work out? And then it was Palin that lost in Alaska. Murkowski still won. From Barney, yes, he could have asked, "Are we effed?" Yes. Yeah, Chuck's best quote: "We are still totally screwed." Yeah, this is big because you know that they've got campaign. That they're going to have a ton of money out there. They're testing
Well, they'll
it.
have the uniparty of him.
Yeah.
You'll have, I don't know, Manny Connell kind of, oh yeah, this is great. This allows the rich people to
Right. And
vote.
I mean, they're going to
None
make
of
it,
those
they're going to
dirty
push it
grassroots people.
just like that. They're going to do it just like they did with the open primary, right? It sounds so great. Or all mail balloting, right? What could go wrong with that?
With that one, the Democratic Party said, we've got to defeat this, and the Republicans, oh good, we'll both work, and then 2 months, and
We're for it.
no, we're for it.
We're for it. We're for
Oh,
it.
we're sorry, we misled you, huh?
Well, and
But you
this
guys are so stupid. How could you believe us? Why would anybody believe a
Oh,
Democrat?
Leo is funny. Leo says, "Yes, Julie, we need all MALE balloting."
Yes.
Oh, just leave it up to the guys. There we go. Hey, before we've got Mark Poff coming on at 3:30, but briefly wanted to talk about the funniest thing I saw about so what Mike Johnson did, which is like historically never been done before, is he ran to because he knew the Republicans weren't going to help him out, except for traitors like Doug Lamborn, yet again, to the Democrats and said, "Hey, will you help me make this rule change?"
Yeah.
Which typically that to put the foreign aid bill up for vote tomorrow for Ukraine, and they did, right?
Well, normally what happens is in the rule committee, the Democrats all vote together and they vote no, but since the Republicans are in a majority, they vote yes and they win.
Right. So that's
But
how you control the House, right?
that's how you
That's
control.
the point of being in the majority.
So our beloved Bible thumping Mike Johnson
Majority leader.
decided that, okay, I've got three grassroots people on the board, which were required to be put there when they got when McCarthy was
Ousted.
made when he was made the chair. And so I said, well, I won't get those votes. I know I'll get the Democrats. I'll get some of us Republicans and then the Democrats, and we'll all be one happy family, and the Democrats win again because he knows that Putin is very mean. And we've got to stop him in
Forever.
Ukraine, or he'll be in Los Angeles.
Well, he's only seen that
And
recently.
as
He's only seen that
maybe it
recently.
wouldn't be too bad if he just went to Los Angeles, but he might just go beyond California.
Well, the thing is but up until like last week, I mean, it's been a little bit longer than that, he was totally opposed to all of this, right? Just like he was saying all of the right things, and he actually appeared to believe him because he was saying them over and over and over again. There's a document out there that House Republicans have put out showing Kike, okay, on this date he said this, he was against funding Ukraine here, against funding Ukraine, it's got to be tied to the border, against funding Ukraine, got to be tied to the border.
Oh, you
Then
gotta
from the
pay for it. You
Senate,
gotta pay for it. You gotta pay. Oh, we'll make it a phony loan. Okay.
well, so then all
It's a
the,
phony loan that Biden can forgive half of today and 100% tomorrow.
well, the thing
All
is
right.
well, but he changed his mind after a couple of meetings, like with deep state organizations. All of
Yeah.
a sudden, he came out and he admits that. He said, like with the FISA thing, well, they explained it to me.
If you knew what I know, and Matt Gaetz go, I know what you know.
It's like,
Then
and
why
so
would you change your mind?
Scott Adams was tweeting, do they have pictures of him with a goat or something? It's like, what? Because it's kind of, I think you're right. It is baffling as to. Are they threatening him? I mean, did they bribe him or promise him something? Why did he become such a betrayer? I mean, and even Chuck is like, I don't know. And I'm like, because I was thinking, well, maybe he's the Democrats are saying, well, we'll protect you from a conservative coup, right? But that's a blackmail that never ends, right? That's an extortion that never ends. Plus, it's close enough. Why would they want to do it? If they could just turn, as Matt Gaetz is saying, that, he's concerned that they might be able to peel away, like, say, if Ken Buck was still there, but maybe any secret Ken Bucks, right? Who would then vote if they try to oust Johnson? Which I kind of disagree with Marjorie Taylor Greene on this. If they try
Not
to
so
oust
much.
Johnson, Matt Gaetz is explaining, well, there are enough he believes other traitor Republicans who would vote with the Democrats to put Hakeem Jeffries in charge. Yeah. And he said their number one thing would be to go ahead and change the law so that Donald Trump couldn't be president.
Right, right.
Right. I mean, and so I don't know what Marjorie Taylor Greene.
She's not the sharpest.
I don't know if she doesn't get that or if she's just.
Yeah, she's just not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
Watch this story when you're getting flack, then you're getting over the target. Oh, Dominion, exactly. Dominion, ex-machine state senator suing discord in our democracy with election fraud claims. I think he's suing Dominion. Probably. But it is interesting. And you know, as Charlene is, wait, let me see. I can put my glasses on again. Charlene, the American people are the last to know about the Uniparty. Such a rude awakening. We are such schmucks.
We are.
Or maybe he was always a Decepticon and Decepticoning us. Yeah, but why didn't he start Decepticoning us from the beginning? It does seem that there has been a clear flip, wouldn't you say? Yeah. I mean, I could see if he said it just to get elected, and then after he got elected, he started doing it. But he was fighting
No, he started out with HR2. There is a whole package. He sent that up. Then he sent the Israeli aid, but it'd be tied to being funded by what would otherwise go to all these new IRS agents.
Right.
And he sent that up. And of course, the Senate just got. And then he goes, well, that didn't work. I guess we have to do what they say. You know, rather than saying, great, well, then we'll do nothing.
Right.
No, we can't do that. We have to govern.
Obviously.
And the only way to govern is to give in to the Democrats.
That's right. And from.
Not those right wing, hard, you know, crazy people.
This, and from Charlene, she said, in my opinion, he was never fighting anybody but the grassroots. You know, it could be. And it is so discouraging because on the one hand, you would want to say, well, let's get rid of him again, right? Like they did McCarthy. But I think Matt Gaetz is right. I mean, you can't trust a handful of his colleagues to not say, okay, well, let's put the Democrats in control. Because if you're the Republicans, some of them, they're the uniparty, Democrats, Republicans, and then they don't want Trump as president either.
No.
And then they could say, well, it's not our fault.
No.
It's not our fault. They passed the law. The law would read Joe Biden.
We just had more Republicans.
Joe Biden. That's right. Unless he's eaten by cannibals, like his uncle, has to become president. Hey, I can't see. Mark, are you there on Zoom somewhere?
I am.
Okay. So
hiding.
We can switch gears.
Still.
he's stealth hiding. Mark Poff needs almost no introduction. Law enforcement expert.
You can trouble to this program.
So we were having an interesting conversation, and I'll let you fill it in. NBC had an interesting story the other day in the Idaho murder cases, all those roommates that were murdered, right? And then they caught the guy, and they're going through all the pretrial motions, and his defense attorneys now say they can prove with cell phone data that he was not there. He was not there. And Mark, and this is the kind of stuff you've been covering and getting cases thrown out, waving the red flag, the BS flag on this. Why don't you lay it out?
Well, that's absolutely correct. Usually I'm going up against the government who is saying things and it's like, wait a minute, you can't say that. And I question the FBI and some other stuff and some of the things that they say in hearings and reports and in trials and stuff. But I have to tell you, when I heard this, and the expert that they've retained is someone that I've testified against numerous times and definitely have issues. In fact, the judge threw him out up in Fort Collins and said, you're not credible. You know, get out of my courtroom. This is the guy that they've hired. And I don't want to mention his name because I'm always concerned about getting sued because the guy's got money.
Okay.
So I don't want to get sued. But I can tell you, I've seen their expert that the defense has hired. And for Kohlberger and the Idaho murders, I don't find him credible. In fact, I have seen him testify. I just saw him recently in Arizona testify, and I was stunned. I was literally in the back of the courtroom saying, he did not just say that. You know, in movies and stuff, I would have just yelled out, you can't handle the truth from the back of the courtroom or something. But I have found it's my opinion of their expert that he is completely not credible. And here's the reason why. When you talk about experts, and this is something I've been an expert witness, I mean, for 15, 20 years, but for the last 10 years as a consultant, no longer working for law enforcement as a detective, I'm out there on my own And my credibility or my integrity is really all that I have.
Yeah.
If I make a statement on the stand that's stupid, I'll hear about that in every trial after that. I've had prosecutors bring out transcripts from other times that I've testified. And so far, I've held my own. I've said, hey, well, show me the transcripts. Let's see what I said. You know, and they're like, well, I don't want to show them to you. And it's like, no, you're the one who said this, you know, about some testimony from some other trial. Let's talk about it. And I've held my own every time that, you know, that's not what I said. Here's what I said and explained. It's very important for experts to stay neutral, especially like I'm an expert in cellular technology and call detail records, which is cell phone records. And I tell defense attorneys, you know, I'm not going to say that, or whatever. If you put me on the stand and they ask me the right questions, it may not go well for your client. You know, so you got to be careful when you put me on the stand because I'm going to tell the truth. Ooh. Down in Arizona, just a couple, 2-3 months ago, he made a statement and I was like, and this is what he just said. Hey, it's my opinion. So I'm going to try to explain to you what he did. I actually have the transcripts. I reviewed the transcripts today that he said just to make sure that I wasn't crazy that day. So I'm going to use this kind of using locations in Denver. Now, understand there's two types of records. There's call detail records, and then there's engineering records, which are these pings that they're kind of talking about. But it's not as quite as... it's the interpretation of the cell records that really matter. And to me, you got to leave that alone. You got to let the jury kind of interpret what you're saying. So you throw the facts out and then the jury's like, well, there's no way he could have made it there or whatever. So if you had, I'm going to use the Denver area. This is kind of a similar scenario of what he said down in Arizona. If you had a cell phone tower right at I-25 and 470 on the south side of town, down by the big mall that's down there, and you had a tower antenna that's facing west. So think about the tower facing west towards, what is it, the reservoir, Chapman Reservoir, which is probably about 10, 15 miles to the west of there.
Right.
So what he said was there was two records that said that this individual was using a tower facing west, the same tower, same antenna. And then 50 minutes later, using my analogy here in Denver, you have another tower facing north up by IKEA. And we all know where IKEA is up on I-25. Based on those three records, two records using the same tower facing west and one tower facing north up by IKEA, he said, it is my opinion, and I'm convinced of this, that this person drove west on 470 to the Chatville Reservoir, dumped the body, and then drove back up towards IKEA 50 minutes later. So he's saying he's using two dots at the same location at I-25 and 470, saying, I'm convinced he drove to the Chatfield Reservoir and dumped the body and then drove up to IKEA.
No, the only way you could even say that, I mean, everything else, even I'm no expert, but it's like, unless the body had its own cell phone in on it that was then dumped and didn't, I mean, how could
But that's the kind of stuff. He's willing to basically sell his integrity,
right?
To preach the agenda that the person writing the check it wants him to say. So I will tell you again, my opinion. His credibility has been questioned numerous times in cases that I've worked on, and that's typical. You always do question their credibility, but the willingness to say something that, you know, in a 50-minute gap, a 50-minute gap in cell records, I'm convinced, it's my opinion, he drove this way. It could have been that that car sat there for 40 minutes, never moved because those two points are using the identical tower, and then he drove up to IKEA and never went west on 470. Well,
what's so great about our system and what makes America great is the fact that this guy who has no credibility is making a fortune going around the country giving testimony that just stinks. And if you're a a defense attorney.
You like
and,
that.
And he'll say whatever you want to say. You don't care about his credibility because you're never going to get a credible person to agree. So why not get this guy and pay him a lot of money? Because he's, you know, maybe the jurors won't get it.
Maybe. Well, let me go back to, go ahead and answer, Chuck.
Well, actually, let me kind of finish this up. So let's talk about the Idaho-specific case instead of my analogy about 470 and stuff. So you have the defense attorney now, and I found that defense attorneys are willing to stretch things and say, you know, really? This is going to prove our client is innocent. And you're like, no, it's not. I mean, let's look at the facts of what is out there. Oh, so the government has said that they've looked at his cell phone records and that the cell phone was turned off at the time of the crime. Whoa, what a surprise. Now, I will tell you, I want to see their evidence because from cell phone records, you can't tell whether the phone's on or off. They don't keep when you turn your phone off, it sends a message to the network saying, I'm going bye-bye. So they don't look for you anymore. And then in the database, it says, Chuck and Julie's cell phone is turned off. So it won't try to find you in the network. It's just going to go instantly to voicemail, which we've all seen. You turn off your phone, it goes instantly to voicemail. So, but they don't store that. But the government on these high profile cases seem to find a way to get information from companies that aren't normally stored. Or if they seized his cell phone, there is a thing called a power down event that's actually stored in the phone's database. So it's possible that they seized the phone and they got this thing. But what typically in the industry, you never say the phone was turned off. You say that it went dark, which means there's no records. So if you see, like when you're tracking these call detail records and you see all these records using Hinton Towers and pinging and stuff, and then nothing for an hour and a half or 2 hours, it goes dark. And then all of a sudden, different location, it pops back up onto the network. That's a clue that most likely the phone was turned off. So the government's saying the phone was turned off. And now you have their expert who I'm telling you, my opinion, he's not credible, is saying, oh, I'm going to show. My guess is, and they say, one person said that he said, and I don't know if this is true or not, that he's going to use pings instead of cell phone records. Now, that is possible because when you're not using your phone, you're constantly pinging towers and the vendors track that for a few weeks. But I can't believe the government's saying the phone's turned off and he's saying that I can prove that he wasn't there. I think what he's going to do, which is one of the things when you have somebody who's willing to say that we have a 50-minute gap and I know he went west, is that he's going to say, based on his last ping, he couldn't have made it there in time to murder them and then got to this other point when the phone turned back on. So he's going to try to do some math. And that stuff doesn't typically work because you don't know exactly where somebody's located. So to do the math, I need to know where point A is and point B is, and then it's speed equals distance versus time, and I get it. But I want to see his evidence. And here's the bottom line. They found his DNA on the knife sheath that was in the apartment or in the building.
That's another clue.
That's a clue. When you get DNA from a person who should have never been there, my client's being framed.
But is this a public defender or
it's a public defender.
Right.
So it's your tax dollars paying for that. Yeah. I don't know.
That is correct.
I mean, you got this guy who killed these things and you can't just go, let's look at the facts. No, let's bring in this totally ridiculous guy the state can pay for and have him lie to the jury and maybe it might work.
Well, I'll definitely tell you, I've seen him testify numerous times and he has made statements that at a minimum, I would say is stretching the truth. I mean,
to the jurors he's stretching?
No. And that's the problem but if you don't have someone credible to go up against them, but understand that the state of Idaho, they're going to bring in FBI CAS members, which stands for the Cellular Analysis Survey Team. and they're just going to crank it. I mean, they're going to go in there, and I've seen
who's
going to
believe the FBI? That's the FBI.
I understand that, but I'm telling you,
going to believe those trucks.
Mark was saying, is Chuck going to drop an F-bomb? And I said, you never know.
Maybe. Yeah. But this is what I will tell you.
Nobody's going to believe it. They're all crooked. They're going after grandmothers.
Why don't they
hire, believe them?
Why don't they hire you?
Believe them? Up, especially Idaho, the home of Hayden. Yeah, well, that's true. The whole thing. Oh,
but
my God,
understand
they
this.
Murdered the wife expert. And Randy Weaver.
Should they hire you, though? Could you? Because you've...
Absolutely. What they should do... Well, actually, okay, if we're going to say this, they should absolutely hire me. And here's the reason why. Because you have the FBI cast team. It is Idaho. I actually have to agree with Chuck.
Yeah.
It was one of those states where you could have people on a jury that said, FB my what? You know? So... they can get an independent person to look through the records like me, who used to be law enforcement, now works predominantly for defense. I would be more than happy to look at the records. Hell, I'd probably do it for free.
No, you wouldn't. Don't say that.
Don't say that.
Think about the TV FaceTime you would get out of it, right?
And that's why I think this consultant, because here's just the facts of life. Public defenders don't pay as well as private cases. So why would an individual who's obviously got plenty of money because he sold his software to LexisNexis, I shouldn't say that. That might identify who the person is. My opinion, he's got money. He doesn't need to be, you know, working for public defenders at their rates. He wants the visibility. I've seen him testify before. I believe he's extremely arrogant and egotistical. He wants his name in the paper and stuff. And so my view is, Let's talk about him.
Let's talk
about the fact that he was thrown out of the courtroom basically up in Fort Collins by a judge who said, you're not credible. And that's actually in the ruling. This isn't my verbiage. This is the judge's ruling up in Fort Collins. So, you know, it is what it is.
Free for the prosecution. The government has all the money in the world.
Yeah, don't
work
for free.
$95 billion off the Ukraine, and you want to work for free for these people? What's wrong with you?
I know it's a weakness. I have taken a few cases pro bono and done some stuff
for
free.
But not for government.
But not for the government. But they do, like I say, they're going to have some castment, these FBI agents with huge resumes, tons of training. They're going to lay all the records out. They do it every day. And, you know, the bottom line is, I tell people, don't get so hung up in cell phone records. They're not the end all,
right,
to be all or whatever. But if you've got freaking DNA in that house belonging to a guy who never should have been there. I mean, and they have a video of a car looking just like his, you know, lay
those
it out.
I'll give my Chuck and Julie recommendation to the government.
Yes,
hire you. You bring all these yodos from Washington with the big resumes that have been going after grandmothers, and everyone's going to screw you.
I would just lay it out.
They're going to go screw you.
Well, and that's what he's hoping for. I remember I covered a case. It was I don't know if it was Tamario Owens, but it was when Rhonda Field's son was murdered, right? And they were trying to argue the defense. They had nothing, right? I mean, all of the evidence overwhelmingly against the defendants, and there were two of them. And so the defense attorney had all of these pictures, like, of the kid's brain, right?
And
they said, see, where it's green here, and it was indeed green. And he said, they brought in some expert who said, well, where that's green there, yeah, that means that's bad and that it's not his fault. I mean, it was like, that was kind of like glittery. They never actually said, and see, like in a normal brain, it's much smaller green. And look, his brain, a lot of this, and they never actually explained what the green was.
It didn't
work. He was convicted and got the death penalty, but then they took it away, so.
Right. I'm confident. Now, I do have to put some disclaimers out here at the end that, I have heard FBI agents, these cast team members, make statements that I didn't agree with. Have I testified against them? I can't remember. I've testified too many times. I can't remember all the times. I've sat advisory, so I've heard them testify numerous times. They have said, and they do kind of stretch the truth on driving tests.
No, not the
things
FBI.
Like that. But the bottom line is, you know, when you look at these towers, you really should not, when you're talking about cell phone records, when they say, you know, my interpretation, or whenever I hear them ask, in your opinion, when they ask an expert, in your opinion, I'm like, here comes the BS. You know, when they say, in your opinion, what do you think of this? It's like, look, the tower hit here. He's somewhere in that general area. You don't need an opinion. It's physical connectivity.
Well, that's what you're there for. You're an expert, so you can give an opinion.
I know. But the point is, with great power comes great responsibility.
Oh, no,
so
no.
As an expert.
Oh, no. We've heard that before.
This is my opinion.
Saddam Hussein was the one who came up with that one.
It's my opinion. If you're going to commit a crime, you should leave your cell phone at home. Right? Get a burner or something. Don't, if you're going to go murder a bunch of people or do stuff, just leave your cell phone at home.
Why couldn't you, like, if you realized, oh, wait a minute, I'm going out to kill people and I have my cell phone, why don't you pull off the side of the road, leave your phone on or turn it off? I don't care. Leave it there. Go do your murders. Come back and pick up your phone in the middle of the night. It'll still be there.
Yeah.
And then drive a bunch of miles. And then turn it on. I mean, it's just, but the bottom line is, I haven't seen the call detail records. I haven't seen the records. So I would want to see all this stuff. But I'm just telling you, you know, whenever I hear a defense attorney say cell phone records are going to set my, you know, client free, I'm just like, that's not how that works. but I mean, because here's the bottom line.
You've got to become a defense attorney and see what you would have to do representing these yo-yos who are totally guilty. And you got nothing. And you got this guy who will at least testify. You know?
Exactly. And I tell defense attorneys, in fact, I've even apologized to him and said, look, I'm sorry that I won't lie for you. I mean, I've got to stick with my integrity. But the bottom line is, when you're talking about cell phones and cell phone records, you can turn the phone off. You can leave the phone places. You can. And can you not believe a guy who's getting a PhD in criminology and criminal justice or whatever didn't know, oh, I need to turn this off. I mean.
Well, maybe he was distracted. So, but hey, listen, Mark, thank you. Thank you. I hope they hire you.
Then you can. Because those FBI guys are going to blow it up in Idaho.
Well, we'll see what happens. But.
You got the rules. DNA. You got the DNA on the sheet. You got the car.
Before I let you go, because we're out of time, I want to let you and everybody else know the White House did come out today and acknowledge that cannibals did not indeed eat Joe Biden's uncle. So did you hear that? Joe Biden was saying yesterday that the cannibals.
Oh, I heard it.
Yeah. And the White House said. The White House said, well, I think they're trying to say he didn't actually say that, but they're acknowledging because apparently the people in Papua New Guinea. Yeah, we're freaking out saying we don't have freaking cannibals here.
Every white guy that drops from a plane, we don't eat.
Yeah.
And actually, I think they would say that Republicans taste better than Democrats.
Yeah, there we go.
Absolutely, they're better shape.
All right. Mark, thank you very much. We appreciate
it. Mark.
Hey, and thank you to Doug at BBS, everybody on Zoom. That's going to do it for us. It is
Ships at Sea.
Ships at Sea, party Friday time.
Yay.